Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Planet Zorg. And on the line I have Zorg the Mighty. What's up, Zorg?
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, man. So, Santorum, is he really going to be the guy?
Is what? How, who? What?
Is Santorum really going to be the guy to go against Obama?
I don't think so. And it doesn't matter anyway. Obama wins.
Why? Wait a second. I thought you said, how is he going to win? He's the economy's no good. He's ruining the country.
There's no, said this many times. Are we confused? There's no credible challenge to him.
So you just think because they just couldn't get their act together in terms of getting a good candidate that he's going to win just because of that? Or is it that they threw it because, I mean,
They threw the fight. Christie could have had the election if he so wanted, but he'd be inheriting something that he couldn't really fix at this time. It's better to wait till, like, Obama's out of office. Joe Biden can't win a presidential election. Hillary Clinton will be too old.
Yeah, who do you think is going to run?
What?
Maybe Al Gore.
Al Gore, the guy who has made a fool of himself several times over the last decade. I don't think so.
Maybe I don't know. I just can't imagine who would run, but on the Democratic ticket in 2016. But you think it's basically going to be a cakewalk for Obama?
Yeah. Not a cakewalk. I mean, he'll lose some states, but unless something really changes drastically in the next year, I don't see Obama losing.
Well, there could be a real crisis with Iran, and then that could jack gas prices up, like, you know, and maybe cause some problems.
No, gas prices are already high, and the United States public has already been prepared for higher gas prices, so no, that won't do it. As far as the economy goes, like, unemployment is still very high, but it has dropped a couple points. It's not really going to drop significantly more. The way that Obama would lose would be, let's say, if unemployment went back up to 9% nationally, then I think people would completely lose confidence in him. But I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, yeah, and it's funny because in many ways I guess he just is a lucky guy. I mean, there's not really much that he's done.
Obama hasn't really done shit, politician. He's been the recipient of lots of, what's a good way of putting it, gifts.
Well, the auto bailout was a good decision, don't you think, or no?
I'm not talking about I'm not saying he never made any good decisions. I'm saying that his record as a politician overall is weak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this debate that they've recently had about this birth control issue,
religious institutions. It's not a birth control issue. It's a First Amendment issue.
Well, that's what I wanted to talk to you about.
The question is, can a religious institution be forced by the PCAPA, a.k.a. Obamacare, into providing health insurance to their female employees that provides them with birth control, even though that religious institution is opposed to birth control? And the constitutional answer is no, they cannot. And no one is depriving these women of birth control. They can go out and buy it themselves. It would be wrong for them to be fired because they went out and bought birth control themselves. But
nobody is,
no one
nobody
is,
depriving is asking them to pay for it. They're getting it free.
However, the deal that's been worked out, I believe, in principle, is the insurance carriers in each of these cases have agreed to provide birth control for the female employees at their own cost, not the employer's cost, which takes the onus off the employer. The employer can now say, I didn't have nothing to do with it.
So you accept the compromise?
What else would you do? I mean, it's an okay compromise. The churches are not forced to provide birth control. the women get birth control on their insurance plans, everyone's happy. I don't see a problem.
Well, some on the right are saying that it's still violating their religious freedom because they don't want these.
Oh,
they want to be able to.
They would be wrong. It's not violating the religious institution's freedom of religion because they're not paying for anyone's birth control.
But why aren't
the
Catholic bitches
where does the money come? What?
Yeah, I agree. But why do the Catholic bitches bishops
reject? There's no real. I mean, it's an awkward solution. The elegant solution would be just to say, no, they should purchase their own birth control. And, you know, and birth control is, like, plenty cheap nowadays. But the solution that Obama came up with, I thought, is totally workable. It's there's nothing wrong with it. And the only reason that people on the right are making noise about it is because it's an election year.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, it looks like they're barking up the wrong tree with this issue. Like, once he made that compromise, I mean, they had an issue before it, but then now it's like a non-issue, and they're still pushing.
Yeah, they should let it go.
Okay.
They should totally let it go. It is a non-issue.
And what is it about this? Why does the Republican Party seem to be leaning so rightward these days? Is it just the Tea Party fervor or what?
No, it's not the Tea Party fervor. It's not a shift in the politics of the Republican Party. It's simply that this is the last leg of an election year, and you always see pandering to the outer reaches of a party. You're not seeing it quite so much with the Democratic Party because President Obama is running unopposed.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't see him spouting off a lot of, like, crazy left-wing shit this time. Last time you saw him spouting off lots of crazy left-wing shit when he was, you know, running for the pre-nominational process. And then once he became the nominee, he started running on a more centrist platform. But right now you're going to see the right, everybody on the right is going to try to outright each other.
Well, they are doing that. I mean, that's why Romney is...
No, they're not
still
really.
That...
It's difficult for that bunch of guys to actually portray themselves as being right-wing. It's very funny. They're pretty much all liberals.
Including Santorum?
Santorum's a Catholic. He's got some conservative credentials. He's by no means a very, very right-wing dude. He basically runs on family values, which is, that's Reaganism. I don't really see a problem there. I don't see that pushing him into the far reaches of his party.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's just his opposition to birth control.
Catholic.
But,
Catholics are opposed to birth control. That's just the way it goes.
I know, but they don't. It's like he has this weird thing where it's like he doesn't separate his faith from his duties as a public official. I mean, don't you think that there needs to be something
on his part in presenting himself? And, as a result, he's not going to be president. So there we have it.
And you don't think he'll be the nominee?
I don't see him being the nominee at this point, although by all accounts, the Obama Party is preparing to face him as a nominee simply because of the strong showing presented in the last two primaries, the non-binding primary and caucus.
And also he's going to win Michigan, looks like.
He will win Michigan.
Doesn't that really make it a scary prospect for the Romney campaign? I mean,
Romney is like gritting his teeth right now and is really pissed off. He's like, he's the way like Obama would be if it were like 4 years ago and somebody else was, what? This was supposed to be given to me. What? You know?
Well, look, I think that's what Hillary Clinton was doing when Obama came on the rise.
But you know what?
She was
right. It should have been given to her. She was the correct candidate. She was the one who had an actual political record. She actually voted when she was in the Senate. I disagree with some of the stuff she voted on, but she didn't just vote present, which Obama did mostly. And interestingly enough, so did his opponent, the esteemed John Cain. They were both guys who, for the previous 2 years, had been voting present on everything that was an issue.
Well, I guess they knew what they were going to do. They were going to run for president, so maybe that helps to.
It's a really good website.
I
can't remember the name of it, but you can look up like anyone you want in Congress or the Senate, and it'll tell you how they voted on everything. I can't remember the site now. It's really eye-opening. I've used it before on people who were like, well, these guys voted. Who do you like again? Oh, I like, you know, so-and-so. Oh, let's look at your guys' voting record. Oh, it's pretty crappy.
Well, anyway, so that's the deal. I mean, now, what do you think in terms of the makeup of the houses? Republican?
Oh, the Republicans will pick up a few more seats in the House because it's a general election, so everyone's up for re-election. It's not, you know, obviously can't be the big blowout for the Republicans it was last time around. The Republicans will gain control of the Senate. And the Republicans will pick up some gubernatorial seats, but the Democrats keep the White House. So we, you know, we maintain a semblance of balance of government.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can also say maintain 4 years of stonewalling. But you know, then you say potato,
Don't you think there'll be less reluctance to oppose Obama in the second term, or do you think it'll be more?
No, I think there will be far less reluctance to oppose Obama from the GOP in his second term because most of the Republican leadership genuinely views Obama as a crackpot. And
but he really isn't.
Some of his things he kind of is, but
like what?
When it comes,
I mean,
what's a good example? Obamacare. That's pretty much a fucking crackpot deal. And you could say, well, that wasn't his fault. That's Nancy Pelosi's and Harry Reid's fault. Okay, I'll buy that. But he's their boss. He could have told them, you know, dude, don't do it that way.
There's really no – there would be no other way to do it in this in the way it's set up. I mean, the lobbyists –
to do it in such a way that it's going to be repealed this year? I mean, come on. That's not a success.
It won't be repealed. They're not going to override his veto.
It will be found.
You think they'll override his veto?
No, there's no veto. He's not vetoing anything. There's nothing to veto. It's not going to be repealed. It's going to be effectively repealed by a Supreme Court decision, which renders the universal mandate unconstitutional, and the bill has no severability clause. Which means that if one provision of it is unworkable, the entire thing goes out the window.
Yeah, so that's you're saying the mandate is going to be found unconstitutional.
You don't think it's going to be found unconstitutional?
No, I don't. I don't see it as being any more than a – it's a tax credit.
Well, we'll
credit.
See.
I mean,
it's going to be coming up before the election, so we'll see.
Okay. Well, that's that you're right. That's but in a way, I mean, I guess it would take it off the table if it gets repealed. I just don't. I mean, it's like, you know, you want to give people health coverage, and you don't want to keep them from stumbling in emergency rooms and draining the system that way. So, I mean, there's got to be some way to do it that saves money.
A few people had some pretty good plans that basically got shouted down. I think competition across state lines is a really good way to start.
I don't see how that's, like, restricted in any way. I mean, why wouldn't there be competition across state lines?
Because is it
illegal? I mean,
illegal is a word, but yeah, it's regulated against. It would be contrary to current regulations.
Well, the healthcare issue is, I mean, the health Obamacare issue doesn't seem like it's, I don't know. I mean, it just seemed like it lost some steam, maybe because Romney was looking like the nominee or what, but
he would have a difficult time debating Obama over something that was essentially his brainchild.
Yeah, it seemed like that's the one argument that Santorum has, or the strongest one he has against against Romney.
I don't really see Obamacare being a huge issue in the general election this year because I think it'll be settled in the courts before then.
And
unless you want the Republican to be going, ha ha, told you so. But you know, I just don't think it's going to be a big issue at that point.
Okay, because I mean, the Supreme Court, like they don't usually strike down stuff like that. I mean, I don't know. It just seems to me like, you know, when you have a mortgage, you get a sort of tax credit for having a mortgage. Like, and if you don't have a mortgage, I mean, you could argue that it's sort of like a penalty.
I think that would be the gist of the Obama administration's arguments in favor of retaining the universal mandate. So, you know, we'll see if that works. But I think that's going to be their legal argument.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, because it just, the idea of, I mean, somebody being forced to buy something, it does sound...
They're going to say, no, don't think of it that way. Think of it this way. And, you know, then we'll, and then the other side is going to be like, dude, no, they're forcing us to do this. So it's going to be, it'll be a tight vote. You know, it'll be a 5-4 vote or a 6-3 vote.
So Newt should just get out of the race.
I don't see him serving any useful purpose by staying in, other than like depleting his own funds. If he really wants to do that, you know, I mean, you know, okay, cool. And he's the only actual kind of coherent candidate, which is sort of, you know, that's sad. Because I don't really, you know, Romney flip flops a lot.
Yeah,
he's gone from being someone who portrayed himself as a liberal Republican to someone who's now saying he's like a Reaganite. and then Santorum is a guy who is just like, you know, pandering to the religious segment of the demographic, which is interesting because a large portion of the religious right won't consider Santorum to be a Christian because he's Catholic. On the other hand,
he's got
his
own liability.
Newt's Catholic. He converted.
He did. That's right.
Newt became a Catholic,
also,
which I think is crazy.
Well,
from a political point of view, I'm not slurring the Roman Catholics. I'm just saying, if you want to be president, you want to convert to Catholicism? Let's see, what happened to our only Catholic president? Oh, yeah, he got shot in the head.
Wow, I didn't even think of that. He was the only one that we've had so far, huh?
The only Catholic president. We don't vote in mackerel snappers into the Oval Office. We just don't.
Snappers? What the hell does that mean?
Because they fish on Fridays.
So do you think...
Nothing against fish and nothing against Fridays. I don't want. I'm in my nice phase. I don't want to offend anyone. So it's like, I have nothing against fish. I have nothing against Fridays. I love the Catholics. You know, I love everyone.
Okay, whatever, man. But don't you think that Newt Gingrich, who seems like his primary motive is to hurt Mitt Romney, that he would actually hurt Mitt Romney more by dropping out than he would by staying in?
He could hurt Mitt Romney immensely by dropping out and endorsing Rick Santorum.
Yeah. And so, but it's like he has like these two competing things. Like, he has his ego that really still wants to stay in the race, but he also has this really hate for Romney after what he did to
him
in Iowa.
Has a deep personal animus for Mitt Romney. I don't know why this is.
Because of what he did to him in Iowa. Because of the ads that he ran in Iowa.
I think he hated Romney before that. And is there anyone else in the race still? Is Ron Paul, like, actually still running for president? Is that going on?
Paul is delusional. He's delusionally running. He still thinks – he actually thinks he'll be the nominee because he'll have more delegates than anyone else. I don't know how he thinks somehow he can get the delegates to go against their party caucus decision. He has some weird strategy.
He's using gold bug math, I guess. I guess he's like figuring, like, if dollars were denominated in gold, then the math would be.
I can't understand Ron the whole Ron Paul thing. I mean, it's just it's a real phenomenon.
People don't know how crazy he is. Educated people are putting up pro Ron Paul shit on their websites and Facebook pages, and I'm like, but you don't understand. He's crazy. I mean, he's legitimately crazy. Like, for starters, he's a gold bug. That's crazy. Oh, he's also like an anti-Semite and a racist. So,
I mean, am I wrong about these?
It's pretty much established that he doesn't like Jews. Like, in fact, he has a major distaste for them. And it's not just when he uses the code word banker. And he used to helm a publication that basically, you know, every other sentence was like Jews killed Christ, and blacks are uppity. So I think we can assume that Ron Paul doesn't like our black and Jewish brethren. And he's certainly dislike them. But he's totally free to dislike them. It's a free country. But, you know, we probably don't want him to be president or even congressman or dog catcher.
Yet he still gets elected.
But check out his record. Out of 421 bills that he sponsored in the House of Representatives, 418 of them never made it out of committee. And two of the remaining three were voted down. The other one is like basically like a dog catcher bill of some sort that has nothing to do with anything that's going to affect any of us other than like some of his constituents in Texas.
Yeah, so he's still...
True, I'm not making these things up. It's like he actually has got one bill passed. And I guess his supporters can say, well, that's because they don't appreciate the genius of Ron Paul. Yeah, it's like, no, it's because he's crazy. And if you want to read something really crazy, read the We the People bill.
The We the People bill?
Yeah, We the People.
And what is
bill.
That?
You it's two pages long. You can find the entire text of it on the internet, and it's like, and also
wow.
Whenever anyone says to you like, we shouldn't be discussing politics in person, but you know, if anyone says something like, yeah, our government should be We the People, you know where they're coming from. It's code. It's like down with bankers, you know.
Oh, I see. And so the bankers is Jews. And
well,
that's
my question to Dr. Paul. What would be the bankers' last names? Do they rhyme with Goldberg? I'm just asking. And just so you know, just in case anyone listening is like, who the fuck is this guy? I'm not anti-Semitic. I'm totally down with the children of God, you know, with God's chosen. I'm totally down with them. I think the Jews are great.
So what do you think should be done about Iran?
Iran, what are they doing over there now? They're executing a Christian guy. Okay. They're developing a bomb. What should be done about them? Nothing.
They shouldn't be bombed?
No. Nothing. Let them. They're going to have a major internal struggle pretty soon. And someone is whacking Iranian nuclear scientists. I don't know who's doing that. It's. I'm guessing it's not us.
I think the country rhymes with Israeli.
Yeah, I think it's the country that rhymes with Israel. just saying. We're not going to mention... But the name of the country rhymes with Israel.
I mean, I feel like that's the solution.
With news.
Don't you think, though, that's the solution and they've already kind of come to it? It's just, let's whack some scientists and just keep whack. It's like whack-a-mole.
Yes, I mean, how many Iranian scientists can you kill? And this is not a joke riddle, people. I'm speculating out loud. If you're Mossad, how many Iranian nuclear physicists can you kill and thwart their nuclear program? I mean, they've got to have a few guys that are, like, highly educated and well-protected.
It certainly doesn't, like, motivate any scientist to come up through the ranks. I mean, it's like,
yeah,
you're just going to get killed.
I was going to put a nuclear weapon for my country. It's like, no, I don't want to do that because I don't want the fucking Mossad whacking my ass.
Yeah, seriously. Oh, boy. But, okay, well, so
if
I guess...
If push comes to shove, I think that the best solution for Iran is to embargo their ass, because they have a major weakness. While they are basically sitting on the largest puddle of oil in the universe, they only have a few refineries, so they don't really... They have to import their petrol. Their gasoline is, like, almost all imported.
And they give
their gasoline away to their people. It's like 33 cents a gallon. It's subsidized by the government. So just embargo their ass and don't let any fucking oil gas go in, and see how they like driving around in sheep-drawn buggies.
Well, I guess they just seem insane. Like,
that's
going to
be
like
their
an insane
new
country.
They're going to have, like, a big slingshot on the back of a buggy driven by a couple of goats.
How long has the Iranian regime been run by insane people?
30 years.
For, like, a long... Oh, okay.
Well, 33 years now.
Jesus Christ, man. I mean, just... They're just so counterproductive to their own existence. It's really kind of a marvel.
I do want to, like, since we're talking about Iranians, I do want to, like, just say, I think the actress Golshifteh Farahani is totally hot. I'm just throwing that out there in case she's listening.
I'm sure she'll come running, man, with her fucking veil on.
She might.
Like...
I don't know. Maybe she knows who I am. But just in case you're out there, Golshifteh, I think you're an awesome actress, and I think you're...
How do you spell her name?
You mean in Persian characters or in English, like Roman
in
lettering?
In English.
Oh, Golshifteh. Faharini. A-N-I. Farahani. Golshifteh Farahani. And also, she's very cool.
Golshifteh Farahani. I can't find her. Where have you seen her?
Hopefully knocking on my door. But she's in the movie Body of Lies with Leonardo DiCaprio and Russell Crowe. She plays the Iranian girl working in Jordan that DiCaprio gets involved with. She's done a lot of stuff in Iranian film. She's a highly respected film actress in Iran. And she divides her time between Paris and here these days. And she did, I think, something in which, like, maybe one of her breasts was kind of partially exposed, like not even a nipple. And now she has a fatwa against her.
Oh, my God.
Which is insane. So it's like, you know, even if she did want to come see me, I don't think she could because, the fatwa thing.
Wow. And is there any other things that you've seen in terms of movies and films that you would recommend to our audience?
Let's see, like new films. Oh, I saw The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, the Hollywood remake.
The remake?
Of the Swedish movie. And it's awesome. It's a really,
oh,
really
cool,
fucking...
Oh, cool.
What's that?
I'm going to go see that. I was about to go see it, so I'm glad to hear that.
No, it's an awesome movie. It's almost a perfect movie.
All right. The original got really good reviews, and they got James Bond in that movie, right? I mean, the actor that plays James Bond.
Daniel Craig.
Daniel Craig, so that should be
cool.
They're
both signed on. He and the girl are both signed on to do the two sequels for the movie.
Oh, it's a trilogy, huh?
Yeah, it's The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, The Girl Who Played with Fire, and The Girl Who Kicked the Hornet's Nest.
Mm. And what country are these movies coming out of?
The originals are from Sweden, and the remakes are all set in Sweden. The characters are the same characters. They're Swedish characters. The whole thing, you know, it works the same way.
Oh, cool. Did you check out, let's see, what was I going to ask you? Have you checked out any other movies recently?
Well, let's see. Oh, I rewatched 28 Days and 28 Weeks Later because I think they're awesome movies.
Those are awesome movies, yeah. Is there a sequel coming?
I'd love to see 28 Months Later. That would be awesome.
I think they are going to do something like that, I bet. I just saw that new Kate Beckinsale crap. It wasn't that good. Awakening, whatever.
The what?
Stupid. That where she's like a werewolf, you know? I don't know. That dumb movie.
The new Underworld movie.
Underworld.
Coming out this month, like this week, I think. And
no, it came out a while back.
Advanced word on it. The first three movies are actually totally good movies, which is amazing when it comes to the third movie, because the third movie, Underworld, I think it's Evolution, which is the prequel to the first two movies. It was a very good movie, and it was successful, even though we were told everything that happened in the first two movies. We're told, like, the backstory in the very first movie.
Yeah. So you like that series?
Yeah, all in all, I think it's a very good series. It's not my favorite portrayal of werewolves, but, you know.
What's your favorite portrayal of werewolves?
I'm kind of leaning now towards, and people slam this movie, but the remake of The Wolfman, I kind of like the portrayal of the werewolves with the cute little button noses and, you know, not the long snouts and mostly walking upright, you know. I sort of like that. It's kind of classic.
Yeah, with the shirt on.
It's kind of classic. And also, what's his name? The actor, Benicio del Toro. He sort of looks like a werewolf anyway.
And so does Anthony Hopkins. Yeah, so. And the girl in there is cute, too.
Emma Blunt, is it not?
Yeah. She's got that sultry look.
Emily Blunt. Yeah, yeah. She's totally cute, and she's a good actress.
Yeah.
She's the
girl right,
ship saved Great Britain.
She is what?
She's the Golshifteh Farahani of the UK.
Yes. Okay, well, I guess we'll leave it there, and I'll be talking to you soon about everything. Take care, Zorg. Thanks for coming on the show, man.
My pleasure.
Yeah, thanks. And you have anything else you want to say to our listeners before you go?
Well, no.
Okay. All right,
next
thanks
time.
Everybody for listening to Planet Zorg. Talk to you soon. Bye.
All right.